wonderful job as usual. Wow. Our scripture reading for the day is found from in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 33. Hear now the word of the Lord. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this His holy word. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for this beautiful anthem that inspires us and reminds us of how wonderful it is to live in a country like America where we are free. Thank you, O God, for those who made it possible for us to be a free country. Bless this sermon. Bless our hearts, our minds, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen. I recently was having a conversation with a good friend of mine about an experience I had when I was a teenager. It was a one and only experience. I won't ever do it again. It happened at the county fair, if you will, in the fall in a little small town in South Georgia. Every year when I'd gone to the county fair, I was fascinated by this thing called the House of Mirrors. Any of you ever remember the House of Mirrors? Well, I went in there once, and I will never go in there again. Actually, when I went into the House of Mirrors, all I could see was myself, everywhere. My own reflection in all these mirrors all over the room, and that was bad enough. But worse yet was I could not find my way out of that place. Every time I moved in the direction I thought was the right direction, I would run into a mirror, which in essence meant I ran into myself. I just kept on running to myself, and I thought, well, I guess I'll spend the rest of my life in the House of Mirrors. But miraculously, somehow, I made it out, only to promise God I would never go in there again. But you know, I thought about that a lot of times, how many of us live our lives as though we are in a house of mirrors. We see ourselves everywhere. Our world is built around ourselves. And before we know it, we are locked in, or we're lost, or we're confused, and we are enslaved to something of our own doing or something totally outside of our control. Jesus knew that about us. And he said to us, "You can know the truth, and when you know the truth of God, it will set you free. No matter what has confined you, no matter what has enslaved you, when you know the truth of God, it will set you free." And I love the last part of this because Jesus said, "And when I set you free, you will be free indeed." In the truest sense of the word, you will be free. I want to acknowledge this morning my profound gratitude for the opportunity to live in America, where we are a free country. I am so thankful for that. And I wish we celebrated it more than once a year. I'm proud, as you are, to be a part of this great country. But you know something? While we are indeed a free country, there are many within this free country who have no concept, who have no idea what it means to in fact be free at all. They are confined in systems. They are confined in discrimination. They're confined in sin. They're confined by money, by things, by on and on the list goes. And they do not have any idea what it means to truly be free. I'm reading a book now about one of my heroes. I've always been a sports fanatic. The book is about the life of Willie Mays. Perhaps the greatest baseball player who ever played. Hubert, you probably met Willie Mays, I bet. Have you not? I bet you have. I loved to watch that man play baseball. I knew all about his baseball career. I knew how wonderful a player he was. What I didn't know was about his childhood. He grew up on the outskirts of Birmingham, Alabama, when racism was perhaps at its peak. And the things he had to endure as a child were unbelievable. Here we were, living in a free country at that time, and yet Willie Mays and his family and many others like him had no opportunity to be free at all. They couldn't drink out of the same water fountains that other people drank out of. They couldn't eat in the same restaurants. They couldn't sit in the front of the bus, and on the list goes. And Willie Mays said in this book, he said, you know, had I not been a great athlete, and had I not been able to go into professional baseball, I would have never broken free from that. He said, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my parents, and others were never able to break free of it. They had to live in the midst of that racism their entire lives. I, on the other hand, lived a privileged life because I managed to play baseball. But he said, think of all the others who lived in America, a free country, but were never able to really be free at all. That may not be racism. Maybe you feel trapped in a job and you see no way out. Maybe you feel trapped in a bad relationship and see nothing that you can do about it. Maybe you are in a financial mess. You find it difficult just to pay your bills. Maybe you have health problems that consume you and you don't know what to do to overcome those health problems. Many of us are crying out to God, God, just set me free from whatever it is that confines me, whatever it is that binds me up, whatever it is that enslaves me. Jesus knows that about us. And he comes to us with outstretched arms and he says, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if I set you free, he says, you will be free indeed. You will be free indeed. Some of you remember a practice that we did a number of years ago. I wish we never had it, where at Easter time they would give children baby chickens and baby ducks. You remember that, some of you? That was a really cruel thing to do, to be honest with you. Children had no idea how to take care of baby ducks and chickens, and they got into all kinds of problems, and some died untimely deaths, I'm sure. I was given 2 baby ducks for Easter one year. Now, my dad was one of these people who said, if you own it, you're going to take care of it. You're going to feed them. You're going to make sure they're safe. You're going to make sure they have everything they need. And you're going to watch after them. That was the rule. So I did. I took care of those 2 baby ducks. And they were a lot of fun when they were baby ducks. But they were not so much fun when they were big ducks. And we lived in the city. And you couldn't. My mom wouldn't let me bring the ducks in the house. And I couldn't play with them in the yard, so I had them in a pen. They didn't like being in a pen. I didn't like cleaning the pen. It was just not a good situation at all. I went to my dad one day, and I said, you know, much to my dismay, I really think we need to let these ducks go. He said, okay, let's do that. He called a friend, a member of the church who lived out on a farm, had a lake, a pond on his lake, and on his farm, and we loaded up the ducks, and out we went to the farm. Opened the door, let the ducks out, put them in the edge of the pond, and I give you my word of honor, they looked back at me like, what in the world do you think you're doing with me? They'd never seen a pond before. But you know, it didn't take them long, and they figured it out. And so there they went. I can still see them to this day, swimming away, and I never saw them again. They swam away to freedom. Real freedom. And that's the kind of freedom that Jesus promises us. If you look at the Bible and the Old and the New Testament, time after time after time, you see stories of how God set people free. Free from bondage. Free from whatever it was that confined them. I love the story of the Exodus. Scholars have compared the story of the Exodus to the story of the resurrection in the New Testament. Think about that. In the Exodus, Moses went and led the people out of bondage in Egypt. When Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead, he led us out of bondage to sin. So there are comparisons there. Story after story of people who were set free because of the love of God, because of the presence of God in their lives. I was in San Francisco working on my doctorate, and while I was there, they took us, seminary students, to San Quentin Penitentiary. In that day, San Quentin housed 3,000 of the worst prisoners in the state of California. I will not forget when they locked six doors behind me, this thick. I heard them all lock. Broke out in a sweat. There I was, locked into San Quentin. We spent the day, we visited with prisoners, we visited with others. At the end of the day, we gathered in a chapel where we met with chaplains and other prison staff and some of the prisoners themselves. And seated right next to me was a man named Jerry Graham. He had on a prison uniform, so he was obviously a prisoner himself. He told a story that made us all literally sit on the edge of our seats. He said, "I began my life of crime when I was 9 years old. I began stealing from my friends, and then I began breaking into stores, and then I began breaking into banks, and then I began armed robbery, and on and on and on the list went." He said, "Time after time I was arrested, time after time I was thrown into jail and into prison." He said, "One night I was arrested, I was angry and bitter. And I got in a fight with the guards. And he said, the guards beat me up. And then they dragged me and they put me literally in a hole beneath the ground with no light. Except a little bit of light that came over above the door into that black hole in the ground. The only thing in the room at the time was a Bible. I picked up the Bible," he said. "I held it up over my head so I could get enough light to read it. And I read the Bible 18 hours a day for 30 straight days while I was in the hole beneath the ground. At the end of 30 days," he said, "I knelt on the floor in that black hole and I asked God to forgive me and to set me free from all the things that had bound me up." And he said to the group, he said, "You may not believe this, but I promise you, that black hole in the ground was as bright as the brightest light you ever saw, so bright that I had to cover my eyes because I could not see. And I heard God's voice as clearly as you hear my voice now saying, 'You'll be in prison for the rest of your life, Jerry, but you will always be free.'" Wow. "You'll be in prison for the rest of your life, but you will always be free." And Jerry Graham won hundreds of prisoners for Jesus Christ. And Jerry Graham was made an assistant chaplain at San Quentin Penitentiary while he himself was a prisoner. And when he got through talking, you know what I realized? I realized that Jerry Graham was more free than I was. Now I was free to leave that prison. But he was free because God had set him free. Jesus knows our hearts, my friends. He knows them better than we know ourselves. He knows what we do to ourselves. He knows what we get involved in. He knows the things that confine us. He knows the things that enslave us. And that's why Jesus says, "Come to me and you'll find the truth. And the truth will set you free. And when you are free, you will be free indeed." We can be free of our self-made prisons. We can be free of all those things that confine us and keep us from being the persons that God created us to be. One of my best friends is a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober now for 25 years. But when he was 37 years old, he said, "I consume so much alcohol that I could drink more than the average person and you would never know I'd had anything to drink at all. because I had such a high tolerance to alcohol. But he said, I began to have some physical problems. And I went to my doctor. And my doctor looked me straight in the eye and he said, Mike, if you keep drinking the way you're drinking now, in 6 months, you're going to be stone cold dead. 6 months, 37 years old, you're going to be dead. He said, it shook me up. He said, I went into rehab for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, he said, Troy, you know what I did? The day I was dismissed from the hospital, I stopped at a liquor store on the way home. 6 months to live. 37 years old. I stopped at a liquor store for liquor. You see, we make our own self-made prisons, don't we? I understand that alcoholism is a devastating disease. It can take control of us and we cannot break free very easily. But you need to understand something. There's not anything. There's not anything that will confine us or imprison us or enslave us to the point that Jesus Christ cannot set us free. We can be free from anything. If you're like me, you can probably remember bits and pieces of your childhood. I think we blocked some of it out intentionally. When I was writing this sermon the other day, I was reminded of something I did as a young child. Now, we all know that from the time we're born until age 25, we don't have brain cells, do we? No brain cells whatsoever. We can't think straight. We don't make good decisions until we're 25, and then sometimes the light goes on. When I was 6 or 7 years old, my mom was in the back of the house and couldn't hear me or see me. And I was on the front porch, and I decided a fun thing to do would be to stick my head through the spindles on the front porch. Now, why would anybody think it's a good idea to stick their head between spindles? I don't know. But it seemed like a good plan at the time, and so I stuck my head through there, and that was all fine and good, but I could not get my head out. And there was nobody within shouting distance, because believe you me, I was shouting. And after a while, my neighbor came home, and I'm sure got a very good laugh out of seeing me with my head between the spindles. Came over to where I was and dismantled the spindles, and I got out. I think I blocked that out of my memory because it was so traumatic. But you know, when I got out of those spindles, my goodness, that was a good feeling. I was free. But you know something, my dear friends? That's nothing. That's nothing compared to the freedom that we experience in Jesus Christ. He says, when I set you free, you will be free indeed. You will be free indeed. Now, like everyone in this place today, I'm so thankful to be an American. I'm thankful for the freedoms we have as a country. But you know something? Some of you out there this morning have no concept of what it really means to be free. You've never been free. You don't know how that feels. And there are people all over this world who have never once, not once in their lives, truly been free. And it's for people like us that Jesus says, you will know the truth of God, and that truth will set you free. And when I give you the truth, and when I free you, you will be free indeed. What is it this morning? What is it this morning that you are enslaved to? What is it that has you bound up today? Is it sin? Is it grief? Is it guilt? Is it sadness? Is it sickness? Is it greed? Is it anger? Is it resentment? What is it? What is it that has you bound up today? It is for you and for me that Jesus said, When I set you free, you will be free indeed. Wow. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that while we are so privileged to live in a free country, many of us have never really known what it means to be free. So come to us this day. Love us. Care for us. And give us that freedom so that we will never, never be enslaved again. Amen.